So this, on this last day of the year, which means tomorrow is not just another Monday, but it's the start of month one of another 12-month stretch. For many of us, it's a day of reflection. And we consider some of the changes of circumstances, maybe significant events that have happened, our successes, our struggles along the way. Perhaps we think about goals achieved and the opportunities that maybe we have squandered with the 8,670 hours that we were given in 2023. We may reflect on people and the experiences we've had with them or the influences that we have had or shared over these last 365 days. Some of us revisit hurt or regret. Others have reflections that deepen our gratitude toward God. It's a good reminder that as a church family, at the start of each year, we identify a theme verse or verses. And for 2023, our theme verses came from John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 17. And our focus has been throughout the course of this year, abiding, remaining, sticking to, hanging on to Jesus, allowing his life and his truth to influence our lives. And these verses inform the way in which we pray and are included at the top of our prayer list every week for those of you who receive that. These theme verses also inform the manner in which we discern topics or books of the Bible that we learn together as a church family in these settings. And for instance, this year we primarily focused on the importance of listening to God's word and developing a more complete picture about who Jesus is. And so when we read in John chapter 15 that Jesus describes himself with the words, "I am the true vine," this is really important. It's an unparalleled authority that is his through his eternality and his equality with God the Father. Now, some of us will be familiar with the fact that the "I am" statement is how God introduced himself to Moses. And if you read back in that encounter, we won't go there now, but if you read back in Exodus 3, we come to understand that God sees our circumstances, he hears our cries, and he's moved by compassion and has a desire to enter into those circumstances and lead us through. And so when Jesus is saying, "I am the true vine," he's saying, "I can make your life count. I want to stick close to you. I want you to stick close to me so that I can transform your life to be a blessing to others." And he calls that fruitfulness. And in so doing, we are being asked if we will let the life of Christ then flow through our lives. Will we stay connected to him? Now, many of those listening in that first century would remember this analogy, this metaphor, this picture of the vine is one of the symbols that is frequently used as you go through the Old Testament. It refers to the nation of Israel, and Isaiah actually has an extended use of this image in what is known as the Song of the Vineyard when he writes these words: "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel and the people of Judah and the vines he delighted in. He," meaning God, "looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress." Throughout the Old Testament, this imagery of the vine is consistent. And you can check that out. God is the gardener. He remarks on the purpose of the vine, and he recognizes the need for justice and judgment because of a lack of fruitfulness. In fact, this theme of judgment virtually on every use accompanies the idea of this vine throughout the Old Testament. God's desire has been and continues to be that we as his people would remain connected to the vine, who we now know as Jesus, to further his work of justice and righteousness to the people of the world. And so now as I pause and I reflect over this past year for us as a church family, it is with humble appreciation that there have been tangible evidence of this in our purposes together, in our functions, not only corporately, but as individuals and as families. So let me read for you again these first few verses of John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, Jesus is speaking, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then this term abide is used continually over and over and over again. And I want to read it to you. Maybe we're familiar with it. So I want to read it to you from the Message version as we continue to go through. And we read these words. It says, live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself without being joined to the vine, you cannot bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. And when you are joined with me, I with you, the relation is intimate and organic, and the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown in a bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I have loved you the way the Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I find it helpful sometimes to read from versions I don't normally gravitate towards. See, remaining or abiding is a process of submitting myself to God and his truth so that the life of Jesus as the true vine will flow through me. It's a life that is lived in obedience to God the Father, in response to the work of his Holy Spirit, and empowered by Jesus the Son. And as we have been learning throughout this year, abiding is crucial to informing how we serve, how we respond, and how we pray in the grace of God. And at the SCMC, we refer to this as spring. It's the means by which we engage our relationships and our ministries and our activity in our community, whether that's locally or around the world. We are instruments in the hands of God, branches of the vine, who is Jesus. And therefore, we are to allow his priority of justice and righteousness to be demonstrated through our lives as we pray for and we serve others sacrificially and generously, not according necessarily to our comforts or preferences, but for the glory of God, following the example of Jesus. I don't always get the opportunity to speak on a December 31st, and so it's good to be able to ask the question, how did we see this transpire in the life of our church family this year? As we reflect together on 2023 as the SEMC family, we can look back and humbly recognize how the Lord has continued to further his work of justice and righteousness through us and among us. He has used us to assist the work of food banks and homeless shelters, provide help to single moms through a project in El Salvador with Compassion Canada. He's helped us to provide assistance to the Sexual Assault Center here in Sarnia to help women who are recovering from domestic violence, help them to recover. We have supported students aging out of the foster care system and living on their own. We helped provide equipment for schools in Kenya through the DaCostas as they went with Africa Inland Mission. We provided generously to the building of homes in El Salvador. We have supported the work of Nightlight that addresses the needs of relational poverty here in our city. And to the Greater Glass Company, our new initiative and the efforts to help students understand their God-given worth and the awareness of issues surrounding human trafficking. And then we have provided generously to supplement, most recently, the efforts of pastors in a closed country like Laos, just over 14 pastors and ministry leaders through Empower Ministries. These are in addition to our regular commitments to NeighborLink or the Pregnancy Center and our participation in the Community Garden and the Friendship Group. Or launching a new chapter with the to support those who struggle with Huntington's disease. What a great day that was in the summer to walk out and see so many of our church family and be part of that. We have increased our partnership with International Justice Mission and their efforts to rescue children from online sexual exploitation in the Philippines, as well as the continued good work, the community development work that is taking place in Seed of Hope in South Africa. Everything we do in the name of Jesus. We don't do it just because. We partner with God who enables us through participation and donation to contend for justice and righteousness in our community and around the world. God has led us into these relationships and He's using us to make a kingdom difference, a difference that will last for all of eternity. We really believe that. And so today, as we end the year, I want to focus on the last part of this section of verses. After Jesus emphasizes the importance of abiding or remaining close to Jesus and allowing His Spirit and His truth to influence our lives, He then offers us an invitation. Listen to these words together. I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love one another. Jesus, as He closes this section of He makes this abundantly clear. He's inviting us to friendship. He wants to be our friend. He wants us to choose Him as friends. And at the time when Jesus spoke, this idea of friendship with God was almost impossible to even think about. In fact, according to Scripture, up to this point, only two people in all of the unfolding of biblical history were considered friends with God, Abraham and Moses. The fact that God, through Jesus, extends this offer of friendship then is not to be taken lightly. This was new news. This was good news. This was great news. And so here's some things that we can keep in mind, some keys to understanding this friendship with Jesus, because it might be that we take for granted this idea of being in a relationship with Jesus. The first is this, accept His offer of friendship. So understand that Jesus is the vine. He is the one through whom fruitfulness occurs. We are not the ones in charge of deciding what fruit will appear. Our job is to stay connected to Him. And the key to that is reconciliation. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. Reconciliation is the key to abiding. It helps us stay connected. It involves submission and humility and constant connection. And the means by which we stay constantly connected is when we realize we are maybe operating outside of what God desires us for to do is confession. Knowing that His forgiveness is sure. It's humility. And that keeps us connected and allows the life of Jesus to continue its transformational work in our lives. Secondly, to make time to spend with Him. When we read about Moses in Exodus chapter 33, we read that he and God spoke as though they were face to face. It's an incredible imagery that God presents there. But you know, one of the things that we are reminded of as we continue to read about the significance of Jesus is because of Jesus, we now have access to God. We don't have to go through anyone. But because of our relationship with Jesus, when we come into this relationship with Jesus, we have access to God. And we can have full confidence in that. Moses related to God personally. And I love that picture. It is not a formal. It's not formal. It is all over the place. You know, when you sit down, you have a conversation with somebody, sometimes that conversation can wander back and forth, and that's okay with God. And sometimes our emotions are, and we think we have to deal with these difficult emotions or these messy emotions, but that's okay with God, because when we're sitting face to face with somebody who loves us, then we're okay with saying, this is not going well. And it's amazing what can happen if we stay in that conversation. The third is to listen with reverence to him. To understand, to take his message, his truth, and to be able to communicate that with authenticity and with reliability according to what he has said. Not to twist it for our own gain. And how refreshing is that when the truth is spoken to us? You feel that difference when you are in the company of those who share truth as it reflects God's desire. There's something very strong about that, and you want to be in their company. So we listen to reverence. With reverence to him. And then, I'm going to turn to this so we can read in James chapter 2. We live out what he asked. This is where, how we understand about Abraham. In James chapter 2, it says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone." Our faith in Jesus must result in some kind of tangible form. And that's the means by which God says, I have a friendship with that person. And where we have confidence that, yeah, my friendship is with Jesus, first and foremost. And then the last part is to allow the love that God gives to Jesus and shows through Jesus, to allow that to impact our lives and the way that we treat other people. As Jesus ends this section, he repeatedly, over and over, as he starts with the idea, we have to stay connected, abide, remain, stay connected to Jesus. He ends with, how important is this? We have to love one another. He doesn't say, you have to love those who we are agreeable with. We have to love those who like us. We have to love those. No, he says, we have to love others. I'm going to lay my life down. And he said, the key is to know whether this is true or not, is there's going to be a time where you will see great love, a greater love, and it will be because somebody is willing to lay their life down. And whoever they lay their life down for, that is the means by which we see how significant this love is. And that is a measure of friendship. And so when Jesus gives his life for all the people of the world, it is really, really challenging for us. We actually have no ground to stand on to say, I won't show love to that person, or I cannot show love to this person. Because Jesus has given, he desires for everyone to understand his love and to come into this relationship by reconciling themselves according to his love, to make that choice to stay connected to him. Three different times, Jesus underscores and emphasizes the importance of sacrificial love. And then he commissions us to handle our relationships differently. He gives the example, and then he gives insight into the purpose before providing one last reminder, to love one another. And so in order to help us understand that, that's what this tool that I talked about at the beginning does, this Abide tool. It's something that has continually been developed, and I encourage you to take it on. Not as a matter of religious practice, but of developing a relationship with the God who loves you and calls you friend. And so as we come to this time of year, a lot of us want to set goals or resolutions. And so instead of telling you not to, let me offer you some suggestions that I've cobbled together from resources, some good suggestions. So whether this relates to developing your relationship with Jesus or not, I think you'll find them helpful. Focus on continuation. What are the good things that God has been doing in you? Allow him to complete that work. Stay with him. Stay connected to him so that he can complete that work according to his truth and grace, which is already at work in your life, if you have made this decision to receive his gift of salvation. Secondly, connect your goal to a why. A lot of people start out the year saying, I have great ambition to do something, and then statistically, within 6 weeks, most of those people have dropped off. Because they just want to do something, but they don't actually underscore the reason why. And so, when you say, I want to do this, add this part. I want to do this so that I can. I want to do this so that I can. And when you spend time understanding the why that's driving your actions, it becomes easier to avoid distraction and increase focus in pursuing that goal. It allows you to be confident to say no to certain things that don't feed those goals, because in saying no, you're actually saying yes to furthering the work of God in your life for this season. Learn to break your goal down. So maybe some of you are here and you're like, yeah, this year I'm going to run a marathon. Well, if you set out tomorrow to run a marathon and you've never done it before, it's not going to happen. I'll pick you up at kilometer 6. It's not going to happen. But if you say, hey, you know, in the next few weeks, I'd like to run this far and then run this far. Or maybe you'd like to cover every street in Sarnia. Like, who would do that? But maybe you do. And then you lay out a plan and you divide it up by 6.7 kilometers a day and you go at it. Eventually, you'll do it. And it's actually quite impressive in purple highlight. Don't dwell on setbacks. You're going to mess up. You're going to have hard days or even hard stretches. Don't dwell on them. You accept that and you move forward. Give yourself margin to do that. And then here's the big thing. Find someone to share it with. Accountability helps so much. It helps you to celebrate the small victories along the way. And it provides encouragement to keep going when things get slower, maybe a little bit tougher. We need to learn to love like Jesus, with a willingness to sacrifice for the benefit of others. People need to know that they are loved and to understand that love is not self-serving but seeks to benefit others. Sacrificial generosity, it's inconvenient, it's messy, it's painful, it's hard, and it's almost impossible to do on our own strength. In fact, that it is. And even by our own determination, we must learn to allow the love and the truth of Jesus to move through our lives by the power of God towards others. To be an expression in the way in which we function, we serve others. The life of Christ isn't just to flow into our lives, but to flow through our lives. And so as we enter into 2024, you may have goals, and I want you to have some goals. May your goals be, some of those goals be related to furthering the good things that God has begun in you and that he desires to impact others through. And so for us, our prayer will continue to be the same. We will desire to serve our community in the name of Jesus. We would desire to see that all people understand that they are valued and that Jesus wants his friendship with them. And we want to see men and women and boys and girls find their faith in Jesus Christ and develop and deepen this relationship of friendship with him. And maybe even as you reflect back on this year, you recognize my friendship, my relationship with Jesus, it has become more vibrant. I've been learning some things, even through the difficulties. However, I also want to add this, that in these moments, I want you to consider this. I want you to consider identifying people, thinking about people who do not yet have this friendship with Jesus. They haven't reconciled their life to his gift of salvation. Will you commit to praying for them this year? To see those women and men, those girls and boys whom God has placed in and around your life to enter into a relationship with Jesus. Would you pray about the reconciling work of God among us and through us? Maybe it's somebody you see every day. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's somebody at work. Perhaps it's somebody who lives apart from you, but you're in communication with them in some way. But God has placed their name and their face on your heart, maybe even as we have spoken. Jesus wants to increase his friendship with others. And he wants to use you to do it. So learning to extend the friendship of Jesus through our lives is a noble goal to have. One that desires, it reflects the desire that God has for us and for the people around us. And so when Jesus says these words, you know, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you, we have to remember the context in which it is being given. In isolation from everything else, then we can maybe blame God for these things that we have expressed but haven't been granted. But this invitation by Jesus in this conversation is one related to the nurturing of a relationship between him and the people whom he loves. It's an exclusive invitation that reflects the glory of God, and it's a promise that should motivate us towards generosity and sacrificial service in keeping with the example that he has given to us. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, our conversations with God, our prayer life should be informed by these characteristics at work in and through us. This is how our friendship with Jesus is developed and the means by which it becomes appealing to others. May it be so among us. Not only in reflection, but also as we move forward. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, the true vine, the one through whom we have life, I ask that you would search our hearts and our minds, that you would expose those things that are not in line with your character. Would you bring us to confession in that? Would you deepen our desire to understand the unique privilege that you give us to have this relationship with you, this friendship that you now open up because of the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. And so I pray today especially, God, that as we look for new beginnings, often at the turn of a calendar, maybe today is a day of new beginning for one who has never chosen to abide in Christ, to remain in Him, to stick close to Him, to hang on to Him, and to allow Jesus to nurture their relationship. May today be a yes day where somebody receives a gift of salvation. May be a yes day for others who have previously, where we recognize, God, you desire to use us to extend your love to others, this friendship. Forgive us for holding it in. May we be aware of those around us. Maybe even today there's a name or names that you have, a face that you have brought to us. God, keep us accountable to that. Use us to extend your invitation of friendship through Jesus Christ. And we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.